Welcome to the African Defense Review. This is John Stupart, the editor, and we are talking tonight with Kristen Van Ski, journalist with the Weekend Argus and the editor of the weekly newsletter SADC Wrap. Joining us tonight as well is Darren Olafier, our resident SNDF expert and senior correspondent with ADR. So tonight, I think we're just going to have a quick discussion, Kristen and Darren, about this coup or non-coup in Lesotho. I think if we can just start, maybe, Kristen, with you telling us perhaps what has happened and why, and then we'll start talking about what the military implications are or are not after that. Kristen?
Well, what we know happened is that in the early hours of this morning, soldiers from the Lesotho Defense Force surrounded police headquarters in Maseru. There was an exchange of fire. Apparently one person was killed. And it's something that the Prime Minister, Thomas Tshabane, is calling a coup. He has since fled to South Africa. But the Lesotho Defense Force itself is denying that this is a coup. They're actually saying that this was more of a preemptive anti-terrorism measure. The roots of this morning's events really revolve around a protest march that was due to happen on Monday. And that was a protest march that would force the Prime Minister to reinstate Parliament after he suspended it for 9 months in June.
Okay, so Kristen, can you tell us about the state of the Lesotho Parliament now? What is the existence, I guess, of the coalition and those outside of it?
Well, the coalition has its roots in the 2012 elections. These were the elections that ousted the former Prime Minister, Phakalita Mosesiri. He had been Prime Minister since 1998. But In the 2012 elections, he broke away from his party, the Lesotho Congress for Democracy, and formed a new party, the Democratic Congress. Now, that party did exceptionally well in the elections. It won more seats than any other party, but it was still a hung parliament. His former party then joined up with the Prime Minister Thomas Tshabane's All Basotho Convention and the Basotho National Party, and together the three of them formed a coalition government. Unfortunately, the relationship between those three parties has frayed with time. Tshabane has been accused of not consulting with his coalition partners in his ruling of Lesotho. And then earlier this year, several MPs tried to pass a motion of no confidence in him. Now, Tshabane preempted it by getting permission from the king to suspend parliament. And the next day, that coalition partnership fell apart. And the LCD announced that it would go back into a coalition with the former prime minister and his party, Phakalita Mosesiri.
I see. And of course, now it's the current state with two members of the coalition in South Africa, the other one staying in Lesotho, that kind of looks pretty good for the one who's staying in Maseru. And I think just following on that, Darren, can you explain a little bit about how these guys managed to get through into South Africa and to what end?
Well, the key thing is we still don't know whether there actually was a coup or what's really happened. There's a story coming out in the Sunday Times this morning, which is claiming that South Africa sent its special forces through to the country on Friday, and that it was those who helped the Prime Minister and Sports Minister to escape to South Africa this morning early before the coup attempt happened. The article alleges that he was transported to Ladybrand, a town in the Free State. If so, then this does rubbish the army's view of the story, which is claiming that there was no attempt at a coup. The attempt was only to disarm police who were planning to hand over weaponry to a youth group who are seen as being loyal to Prime Minister Tshabane. A key thing to understand here is that the police are believed to be aligned to the Prime Minister, to Tshabane, and the army is seen as being very close to the Deputy Prime Minister, Metsing.
I see. Okay, so that could explain as well that the army acting on the police, obviously. Kristen, from that side, can you just have you heard anything about the conditions in Lesotho at the moment or in Maseru? I imagine outside of Maseru, people are still going about their ways. But in the capital itself, is this a state of military lockdown?
Well, I got in touch with a couple of Maseru residents over Twitter, and you know, by all accounts, it's business as usual in Maseru. People have said that the shopping centers are open, businesses are open. One guy said it was just an ordinary Saturday morning. Another said that he was at a kiddies party and had passed a couple weddings on the way. So for Maseru residents, this doesn't look as if it's had any effect. Some have said they've seen a couple soldiers on the streets, but it's no more than the soldiers they see on their day-to-day lives living in Lesotho.
Right. I mean, imagine just like living in Pretoria, the odds are you'll see an SANDF truck or two, you know, moving along the highway. I mean, it's entirely possible. So I think in that sense, it's perhaps a little too early to be making noises about coups and things like that. And also what I've seen a few noises, at least on Facebook, which is by no means a great gauge of any sort of political climate, but obviously talks about a repeat of Operation Boleas, the SANDF and Botswana intervention in Lesotho in 1998. Darren, do you think this is Lesotho 98 all over again?
No, I believe the situation is quite different. In 98, it was really coming at the end of a decade of severe instability in the country. There had been at least two coup attempts, and there was a situation where there was no clear authority whatsoever. So with the coup attempt in 98, there was a belief by South Africa and Botswana that had to move in and really do a lot to assert control. There was also a belief that there was a threat to the dams in the country which supply water to South Africa, and that there was a need to protect those and stop them from being attacked. So the response there was far more robust and far heavier than I believe any response now would be. It required a full-on SANDF assault. And, again, that was a sort of a long-term mission. What people don't realize, there's a belief that the SANDF went out and was back out again within a couple of days. But they're actually there for a full 9 months, during which they helped to establish a whole new government in the country. And, looked at as a long-term view, the operation was a success in that it's just now been a whole number of years since 98 where the country has been quite stable and there hasn't been, well, since the first time we've had a similar issue again. That said, again, I'm not hearing of much readiness from the SANDF in terms of this. They don't feel that there's a need to go in. And from what I can understand, the thinking is that as long as there is an authority in charge, Even if it may be, let's say, Deputy Prime Minister Metsing, who's got the army on its back, as long as there's one group who has authority and there's no looting, there's no violence, there isn't like the country's about to collapse into chaos, there's no need to intervene. And I don't believe that the government will take the extreme step of sending in troops to remove the army at the moment, because that would just cause future long-term issues that would be an issue. So my view on this is that the government would rather support this, would rather try and resolve this diplomatically. That aside, the time is quite bad as well. A lot of SANDF troops are currently on exercise or exercise Sabwoka. Aren't well placed.
Of course. So, that of course makes it quite difficult to reorganize and come back from that. But, at the same time, Perhaps it's completely uncalled for and won't be necessary. That said, I would probably weigh in and say if anybody threatens the dam, of course, the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, I think then things might change significantly for South Africans foreign policy with regards to Lesotho. Not that I think that is by any means a threat, but it just hypothetically speaking, if that became a strategic consideration, then things might change.
On that note, John, I think it's quite important to note that Durko has been very strong-worded about what's happened in Lesotho as far as, Durko's soft diplomacy goes. They have said earlier today that everything that's happened in Lesotho today bears the hallmarks of a coup, even though a couple of analysts that I've spoken with disagree with this definition of what's gone down. And the South African government has said that it's not going to tolerate any unconstitutional change of democracy in the country. It's reiterated the stance of the AU. And even though it's said that military intervention will be its last option, we don't really see South Africa speaking out that strongly on other issues in the region as it has been and on the issues in Lesotho. And I think that speaks very clearly to how much of a concern the Lesotho Highlands Water Project is for the government.
Remarkable how a strategic resource in the region can precipitate much stronger foreign policy actions from a country nearby.
Absolutely.
Quite remarkable. Well, on that, I think we'll call it a wrap. But thank you very much, Kristen van Ski, journalist with the Weekend August, and Darren Olafier, our resident SNDF expert and senior correspondent. For more on this, I think you can get it through Kristen. I imagine SADC Wrap's going to be busy this week.
Very busy.
with some of the stuff, so you can certainly check through at SADC Wrap, and of course we'll all three of us keep you posted as the situation develops. This was the African Defense Review. Have a good night.